This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your first stop for festival style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to TFL Talking Trucks podcast.
This is yet another outdoor podcast. You guys were requesting it, and we're doing it again.
Yes. On this episode, it's basically a one-year update of my personal ownership with a brand new Chevy Colorado pickup truck. I purchased it in April of last year.
Yeah.
So it's not quite 12 months. It's about 11 months-ish.
It feels like 14 months, my friend.
It feels like, well, everything after COVID feels longer for some reason.
Mm.
But also, I have about 10,000 miles on this truck.
Okay.
So I figured this would be a good episode to talk about everything that has happened. Also, there's been some confusion recently, and I'm responsible for some of this confusion because we've talked about some recalls and some stop sales. So I want to set the record straight with this episode.
Now, before we get started, we should tell everybody who's listening for the first time or perhaps who's watching for the first time exactly what we have here, because this is Andre's personal truck, and it's also essentially a TFL truck because we've featured this thing in multiple videos for multiple reasons.
Yes, and the reason why I'm looking at my phone is not because I'm texting my friend.
Of course not.
It's because I want to thank our Patreon supporters.
Okay, why don't we hit that first?
Yes, and patreon.com/TFLcar is what the only page for TFL Studios where you can support us and talk to us. Recently, Elizabeth Hopkins, Sean G, and Mark Camacho. Ooh, Camacho.
He's a macho guy.
Yeah, supported us. So thank you guys. And what this truck is a 2023 Chevy Colorado Trail Boss. So it's basically a little bit more affordable version of their off-road midsize truck. It's, of course, a crew cab because it's the only way it comes.
Right.
So let's start walking around it a little bit. It's a new generation of truck. The reason why I purchased it is because I wanted a new generation truck. Right?
Yeah.
Because the midsize trucks from General Motors have been the same since, what, 2015?
Ish, yeah.
Ish. So it was time, and they touched almost every part of this truck, so we can go over it and talk about our experiences.
Okay, now the first thing you guys should know is that it only comes in one flavor in terms of bed size and cab size. There's no extra cab anymore. It comes with this crew cab standard, right?
Exactly, and also the 5 foot bed. Actually, it's 5'2", so that's kind of the standard size for GM midsize trucks. And this bed, actually, the length of it is approximately the same as the new Tacoma, right? In fact, when we first showed this truck, you know, at the debut events and when I purchased it, people said it looks like a Tacoma. I don't completely agree with that, but I think it's a handsome vehicle. What do you think?
Well, I'm on the fence about this. Now, first of all, I do agree that this is a handsome vehicle. And by the way, for those of you who don't like this yellow color, whatever, I think it's kind of cool.
Okay.
This is the part that I think looks Tacoma-ish right here. So on the back door, the way the lower section of the window kinks upward, that design is reminiscent of Tacoma.
Yeah.
But the overall design of the vehicle, it has chunky fenders. The new Tacoma has chunky fenders. It has a fairly squinty face. The new Tacoma has a squinty face. So you could say that, but there's, when you look at them in person, they really look different. I think the details really pop out. The way your hood is designed, the way the fenders are designed, yeah. The way the front end is designed, very different. The silhouettes are very similar. Why? Because they're both the same
size
thing, right? Yeah, exactly.
And also, Tacoma has been very successful. I mean, there's no doubt. They control, what, 46% of the midsize market in the U.S.?
Right.
I mean, almost half of it is Tacoma. And if you don't mess with success, and sometimes you can borrow from success, right? And
right.
Have certain elements that work. And work for this truck as well.
And I want to say one more thing about looks. Many, 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 many of you were saying that the Nissan Frontier looks like this truck or looks like the Tacoma. You're wrong. I'm sorry. Yeah. You guys are just wrong.
Nissan Frontier,
I think it looks
more unique than anything else.
Yeah. I think the front end especially is completely different in terms of the design. But yeah, the silhouettes are very similar because they all have essentially the same modus operandi.
All right. So let's look at the front grille. In more detail, I'm on the fence a little bit.
Really?
So when I purchased the truck, I knew I wanted affordability, right?
Uh-huh.
That was my key point for me personally. And I did purchase this truck for just under $41,000, which I thought it was a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that later. But it comes with this blacked out grille, but it has different materials. Look, there's a little bit of shiny plastic here. Awesome Trail Boss badge. Then there's some dull plastics. Then there's a slightly painted, like a silver piece down below.
Which is supposed to look a little like a skid plate, but it's not.
Right. And then there's, of course, there's a chin spoiler, air dam. I do have toe points, which was important to me. But there's no other visible skid plate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a couple of skid plates under there.
Yeah.
But I kind of, and I haven't painted this truck yet, I wanted to add color here. Maybe body color on the lower part of the grille or somehow liven the front. The front just looks way too dark for me.
I think you'd liven it up by putting a big old bumper here.
Or a winch.
Yeah. And just getting rid of all this stuff and putting that in there. And then this would look even more unique. In fact, the more you do stuff like that, the more this would look like the top dog, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the ZR2, right?
Right.
And that's another question I had, right? Can I turn my Trail Boss into a ZR2?
Mm.
And the answer is, you really kind of can't, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Let me pop the hood because I want to talk about efficiency and powertrain.
So this is a mid-level truck in terms of its powertrain. There are, I believe, three different...
Or there was.
There was.
Yeah, not for 2024 anymore.
Really? They're not doing the base model engine?
They do have the base engine on the 2024, which is a lower power unit.
Uh-huh.
But they got rid of the mid-grade.
This is the mid-grade?
Yes.
They got rid of this?
Yeah, they did.
So in other words, you got a truck that has lesser power than the one that replaces it.
Exactly.
That's
but
bad.
I fixed it.
Okay.
Wait, listen to this. The truck is off, but the fan is on. I mean, the interior HVAC fan is on.
And this is only the beginning of the news in terms of technical issues that Andre is suffering with this truck. But we'll get to that in a little bit.
No. I've noticed this before.
Mm-hmm.
The interior HVAC... Can you come here?
Explain to the listeners what's going on, would you?
So the truck is powered down, but the HVAC fan was just cycling. And I want to say it's on purpose.
Okay, it's on purpose.
I don't think it's an error. It's just been a kind of a hot March day here. The truck is it's sitting in the sun, and I think it kind of cycled my fan for me for comfort.
And it's doing it again.
Okay. Let me explain the power, okay?
Okay.
So they got rid of the diesel, of course, got rid of the V6, replaced it with a 2.7-liter turbocharged four-cylinder. And they originally, when I bought my truck, had three power levels, right?
Mm-hmm.
The base work truck, it was like low 240-ish horsepower range. And the hardware was a little bit different. And then there was two power levels above it, the mid-grade and the high output. And I never understood that strategy, right? It seemed like too many differentiations, right? Too many options.
I would agree with you, yeah.
It's doing it again.
I know.
So for 2024, they got rid of the mid-grade. Mm-hmm. So if you don't buy the work truck with the base power level, all the other trucks come with high output. And that's what I think should have happened from the very get-go.
Basically two engines, one for your base models and then one for your high out, you know, everything else.
Everything else. But I did an optional upgrade on this truck. I went to the dealer and for a price of about $650, which I think is kind of high, they tuned my truck at the dealership. And by that, I mean they replaced the program, right? The actual calibration on it. For high output, so now this is a high output engine, 310 horsepower and 430 pound-feet of torque.
For $650?
Yes.
Okay, so how much horsepower did you gain for $650?
Zero.
How much torque did you gain for $650?
I gained 42 pound-feet of torque.
I don't think
so. I basically gained 10% of torque, but I didn't really gain power.
Yeah, but I've driven this truck.
Yeah.
And it moves. It has no problem getting up and going. You've towed effectively with this as well. We've taken this thing off-road several times. It's done very well. I think that torque upgrade may have been a good thing.
So, yeah, so let's just review what we've done also, right? Mm-hmm. Eye gauntlets. I've done, I think, two or three of them with this truck because we initially did the first one with my truck. Then we also did some comparisons. And most recently, we compared it against the Tacoma. Right, direct comparison.
Right.
And it never disappointed on power and also downhill performance.
Yeah. Now you've gone camping with this thing, you've towed a boat with it.
Several times. To the lake.
You've handled a few loads with this thing as well, right? What's its capacities?
Really great. Let me show you. Let me show you the sticker if we can come over here. It's reminding me that the key is inside.
Maybe that's the issue.
That's another reason why I bought this truck. I was impressed with the payload. The rating on this truck is 1,514 pounds. This is almost a half ton capability, like a bigger full-size truck capability.
Yeah, you can hold 100 pounds more than my cheap little tiny truck.
You mean your Santa Cruz?
Yeah, but you can tow quite a bit.
7,700 pounds of towing.
Which I believe is nearly the best in class, if it's not the best in
class. Actually, it's like they're tied for best in class with the new Gladiator. Uh-huh. Is rated about the same. And I think the Ranger is still at 7,500 pounds. So, they're near the top with this truck.
All right.
And I've maxed it out, too. Recently, you know, towing really heavy trailers about, you know, 6,500 pounds or 7,000 pounds with this truck. I don't have a tailgate?
Yes, you have a damp tailgate. Oh, dampened.
Dampened?
Sorry.
Okay, it's not wet.
We have cup holders.
So you know what? I do have little cup holders in the tailgate and a measuring stick.
That I like. That I wish I had.
I tried a few months ago. I bought a little, you know, little strut.
Yeah.
To make my tailgate come down. Slowly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it was designed for the previous gen Colorado and not updated for the new one, and it didn't quite work.
Okay.
For this one, I did bedline it, so it's got a spray-in bedliner. That was also $600 at a local Line-X shop.
Uh-huh.
So I did all that stuff. But overall, towing. Oh, and this, I did a tonneau cover.
Yeah. It's an interesting tonneau cover, too.
It's a three-piece fold. I kind of like three-piece folds because I don't like Velcro. Uh-huh. I've done Velcro before. And hold on, let me do this part. And Velcro weathers. It shrinks over time in the sun. So I like this three-piece fold the best, at least for now. There you have it. Sorry, I have a couple items here.
No, that's fine. For those of you who are listening, we are now looking at the inside of Andre's bed, and he's folded up his tonneau cover. Now, can you keep it like this?
Yeah.
And drive?
Yeah.
With our straps?
Can you fold it? Can you fold that little thing in the other way? Yeah. Yeah, there are straps. There are straps. I can tie it down, or I can remove the entire thing in about a minute. So I can drive like this.
Okay, that's cool.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Efficiency. I think we need to touch on this.
Yes.
Before we go inside.
Okay, but before we even do that, are there any other upgrades you've done to the vehicle?
I made it, you see this black section?
Yeah.
I wanted the floating roof design.
Okay.
So this color is nitro yellow, and as you know, Mr. Truck and Roman don't like it. You and I like it. It's very polarizing, but I wanted to create this separation between the main section of the cab to the roof, so I created this with the help of our friend Shane. So
it's a wrap.
So it's not paint, but it's wrapped this way, and it makes my truck a little bit more unique.
It does. It's certainly, you know, when you see it from the profile especially, that's where you can really tell the difference.
Efficiency.
Right?
So, by the way, powertrain, not a single hiccup. It's an 8-speed automatic. A lot of people have weird feelings about it because they've had problems in the past.
Including our own Alex.
He had some problems with his transmission. My transmission never hiccuped, never any errors or any breakdowns whatsoever in 10,000 miles. So I'm happy.
Yeah, and you mentioned 10,000 miles, and I know some people are like, ah, that's barely breaking it in.
Yeah.
Understand that we do a lot more than your average consumer in terms of the amount of torture we do with the vehicles that we, I mean, we do way more towing than the average, I should say.
Well, the Ike Gauntlet is the world's toughest towing test because it's at 11,000 feet above sea level.
Correct.
8 miles, 7% grade. So. Yep.
And we've done that several times.
Several times.
And you've towed with this several times. And it's gone off-road and really gone off-road several times.
And so, been scratched off-road, too.
Yeah, so you beat it up. Okay, I'm sorry. Now continue with the efficiency.
Efficiency, yeah. So I believe it was Mr. Truck and I, our buddy Mr. Truck, we did a Denver 100 loop.
Uh-huh.
And we got a really respectable 22 mpg on just a standard highway.
You're going to have to do this side, too, because I have no idea what I'm doing.
Oh, it's okay. It goes down this way, and then I can latch it.
He's right now latching down his tonneau cover.
Yeah, because we'll forget about this, and then...
Then it'll flop around in the wind.
There, it's done. 22 mpg was our highway test, which I was impressed with because of these tires. So the tires I selected from the factory, I wanted to upgrade my Trail Boss, and Chevrolet does it from the factory, which I was impressed by.
You know, these Goodyear Wranglers have really grown on me.
Uh-huh.
They've been on other vehicles that we've tested, or similar, you know, Goodyears. And on your truck so far, they've proven to be pretty damn good. How are they in snow?
Really good. Well, there was a video recently, maybe I should mention it, but we went off-roading with a Tacoma.
Uh-huh.
And I helped the Tacoma in the snow. So actually, they work quite well in the snow.
Yeah.
And look, after 10,000 miles, like, it almost looks like a brand new tire.
Yeah, but keep in mind, folks, that he has been rotating these tires regularly.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what you should do if you want to extend the life of your tires. I highly recommend doing that. Okay.
So I'm very happy with the tires. And these tires make the efficiency worse, right? Yeah. They're very aggressive.
Very wide, too.
They're wide. They're about 10.8 inches, I believe, wide. It's a 275 millimeter, and also 32 inches tall.
Right.
And that's, I paid for it when I configured the truck online at Chevrolet, and it was only $495.
Wow, that's actually tires.
I mean, otherwise I would have had like a little bit more all-terrainy street bias tire, and I didn't want that. I want a beefy tire.
No, I get you.
So...
That's pretty good. But how is it in regular stop-and-go traffic, though? I mean, is it like a regular daily truck, or is it a little bit hefty when you have to push it?
It's really usable. I commute in it, I mean, a little bit. Uh-huh. I often drive loan vehicles, right? Because we test a lot of trucks at TFL, so we're very fortunate to be able to drive multiple vehicles. You know, because of the high output character, you know, the lots of torque, 430 pound-feet of torque, I love driving this truck. I can just touch the throttle and pass almost anybody I want, although I'm not allowed with the sound. The only complaint I have about the powertrain is kind of the auditory feedback. You know, it's not a V6, doesn't sound like a V6. It's not a V8, of course, and it has monstrous power. I mean, just 10 years ago, this would be a V8 power level.
Easily.
And it's just not very satisfying sound-wise, at least from the cabin. Like Alex was telling me, Alex, who dislikes some GM products because of his previous experiences, told me that he could hear the blow-off valve on the turbocharger, and he thinks that outside of the truck, it sounds kind of good.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with him. It almost sounds like a diesel.
Yeah, in a way.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. But here's the thing. All right. Can you name a good-sounding midsize pickup truck?
Not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Tacoma exist. Switched to four-cylinder turbochargers. Yeah. Same thing. Sounds about the same as this. Some people put custom exhaust systems
on
these.
That's different. I'm talking factory.
Factory. Yeah, and also a lot of aftermarket exhaust systems are also not super satisfactory.
Some of them are worse. They sound like, you know, a
they're can. Buzzing or something like that. So.
Now, some people say that the Nissan Frontier with its V6 has a satisfying growl. I think it sounds a little industrial as well, but it's, you know, they're the really, in my mind, the only people that make really good sounding V6s are the Italians, but that's just my thing. I think that the V6 probably has a little bit more of a husky sound to all the turbocharged four cylinders that are out there. What about the Honda Ridgeline?
Also a V6, but also very, very conservative, right? Mm-hmm. You almost cannot hear the engine in the Honda.
It sounds kind of like a minivan.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. Yeah.
So if you really want, you know, great sounding vehicles, buy a Raptor R.
There you go. Yeah. There's only a few places you can go now to have really good sound, which is kind of a shame.
Exactly. Let's start talking about things that went wrong.
Okay. How long can we do this podcast for? Do we have like another hour to run this thing?
Let's do it.
Okay. Fire away.
You're standing next to it.
Yeah, battery.
It's the 12-volt battery under the hood. Unfortunately, I ran into this issue several months ago where this truck is now available. It's capable of over-the-air updates.
Right.
So it can update itself nicely. Whenever you want. But it wasn't nicely done originally.
No, I bricked the vehicle for crying out loud.
So what was happening was it started an update. The update couldn't finish. There was a bug in it, in the software. It drained the battery, and I had trouble restarting it. Like, I was charging the battery, it wouldn't restart. I thought I had to tow it. I didn't tow it. And then I finally charged the battery up and finally got it going like 2 days later.
So it died for 2 days because of the OTA.
I wasn't super inconvenienced, like I said, because I have loan vehicles. But if this was my only vehicle...
Yeah, that's...
And actually, one of our friends who emailed me, he's a traveling salesman.
Mm-hmm.
He has one of these.
Mm-hmm.
And his truck once did the same thing in a hotel parking
lot. That's right, in a hotel parking lot.
Yeah.
And he got lucky. He was able to get his started too, right?
Well, after a couple of hours of charging the battery. But still, it could be a huge problem. But they corrected it.
Yes.
Okay? They solved that problem. So they tell me future updates are going to be smooth and nice.
Okay, that's what they tell you.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to the next problem.
We have to go inside for that.
Ah, okay.
And we're inside.
Yeah.
Okay, let me power up. Ah.
Now, should we take care of the elephant in the room now, or should we do it later?
Which elephant? It's not me, is it?
It's me. No, okay. It's not that. Where would cruise control be if you had it?
Did you have to say it?
Well, because people are going to mention it. I'm not even trying to be a jerk about it. I'm honest.
Okay.
Where would it be on your...
It's here.
Okay, so it's where...
So, it's blank. By the way, I still don't have cruise control.
No, I know you still don't.
There's a couple of... I can explain. How much time do you have?
We have plenty. Go ahead. I think people need to know about this.
Okay, so I ordered this truck early, at our favorite dealer here in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I knew because I'm in the industry when the order books would open.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in there over the weekend and I ordered the truck. When I ordered it, there were no prices on the option list.
Right.
But I knew I had to have a trail boss, mm-hmm. which is enough for a truck. I knew I had to have a towing package, which I did mm-hmm. get, which has a brake controller yeah. integrated into the truck.
Which is really cool to have. Yeah.
Because some midsize trucks before this didn't even have brake controllers
for trailers.
I agree.
Yeah, I know.
And then he asked me, do you want a rear opening glass?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the little window that opens in the back.
Right, sure.
And I said, no.
So you're we trying kept to save going. Some money. Yeah.
Yeah, save some money. He said, do you want vinyl floors or carpet? And I thought for a second, I had vinyl floors in my previous truck.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to live.
Oh,
I'm going to upgrade to carpet.
Okay.
So I did. That was about $1,000. That's expensive carpet.
That's crazy carpet.
Yeah, that's like Persian.
Yeah.
Basically.
Okay.
And then that was it. It was $41,000. I was super happy. I ran home
mm-hmm.
with a big smile on my face, and then I received my truck in April. What I didn't realize that the cruise control was optional, and it was part of the rear glass package.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's called convenience.
So that was, I mean, your fault for a lot, you know, you weren't able to figure that part out.
No, I will never live this down.
No, you're never going to
live
this
down. I mean, I'm the managing editor of the TFL Truck Channel.
Yeah.
And I ordered the truck with no cruise control.
Well, leading up to this, the only thing I used to be able to make fun of you about was submerging vehicles.
Oh, I used to do that.
Yeah, I used to do that. So now it's cruise control and submerging. So that's fine. Look, under the circumstances, it could be worse. Now, some people said if you replace the steering wheel with the one that has the buttons on it, you will immediately have cruise control.
Are you ready for the explanation?
Yes, that's what I'm asking for.
Okay. You could actually, you don't have to replace the whole steering wheel. I mean, I could get
a ZR2. But that's what one couple of viewers said.
I could get a ZR2 steering wheel, which is beefier and chunkier and looks amazing and has color, and it would have cruise control. Or I can replace this module.
Mm-hmm.
Pops out,
mm-hmm.
the new one pops in, boom, happy, everything great. But I spoke with, you know, the dealership, and I spoke with, you know, some people, and they told me that they can program my truck to accept the cruise control because everything, all the hardware is here
mm-hmm.
except for the button. But the next time over-the-air update comes down, and it thinks I don't have cruise control because my truck was not born with it originally at the factory.
Right.
So it's possible that over-the-air update will delete my cruise control feature because it thinks the truck is not supposed to have it because it wasn't born with it.
It's possible, as you say, but it's also possible that it might not.
Yeah, but I didn't want to go through it.
No, I get it. I totally get it. And at the same time, it's great because we have something to hold over your head.
Yeah, forever. So it's still there.
Okay.
So that's the reason. Also, you would ask, why not update the cloud system, the servers, right? Why not tell the servers that this truck now is... I don't control it. It's a GM thing. You know, it probably has to do with legal requirements or mm-hmm. recall requirements and others. Speaking of recalls.
Yeah, here we go.
There is one.
Yeah.
There's also a stop sale.
Okay, should we hit that now? We're going to do that when we're rolling.
Let's save that for a second.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about another problem I've had.
Okay.
Let me throw it in reverse. Just back it up, right?
Okay. Interesting.
Wham-o.
Okay, now, for those of you who are listening, there is now a dark screen where there used to be a display, and it shows the camera and then a big red circle with a line through it showing the camera is dead. So he has no reverse camera, which is, by the way, mandated by the federal government that every car has to have a backup camera system.
Well, yeah, they do. And if you look at my tailgate, I have a camera in there.
Yeah, it's just not functioning.
No, it's not. So this problem occurred a few months ago. Fine, I'm not stressed. It's under warranty, right?
Right.
So I took it in. They asked me, the dealership asked me to come back because they had to order a part. I came back. The part that they ordered at the warehouse turned out to be incorrect. I had to come back again. They replaced my reverse camera and then later replaced my entire head unit.
So this is all brand new?
This part, the central screen part.
Uh-huh.
Because they still couldn't. It wasn't working. But after replacing the head unit, and the camera, it's still not working. And now I have to order the special testing tool for the coax cable that goes from the tailgate up here.
Yeah.
To test the coax. Maybe there's a pinch in the cable or some sort of a maybe a defect originally from the manufacturing of it.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't have it. I've been to the dealer like four times.
Okay. That is one of the biggest issues this vehicle has.
Yeah, but once again, you could say, Andre, just turn your head and look backwards.
Yes, you could. Or you could say that every vehicle in the United States sold has a backup camera of some sort.
Okay, and new vehicles like this do not have a lot of visibility towards the back.
No, frankly, they don't.
The bed is high, mm-hmm. You know, for volume.
Well, the windows are low because there's a lot of door here for side impact protection.
My side mirrors, if you can take a look, they're kind of sporty looking, and I do like their look, but they're there for aerodynamics.
Yeah, they're kind of on the small side.
So I don't have towing mirrors because it's a midsize truck. Right. I wish I did. I don't. So there's not a lot of visibility on this truck, and also the hood is kind of tall in the front. So, but I don't have a front camera because I'm cheap. So that's an issue. And I'm a little bit confused why it's taking so long to fix. I'm just confused.
It just seems like a basic piece of hardware, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But with all this stuff, who knows? I mean, I recently was in a Mitsubishi Mirage, and its backup camera seems to work just fine.
Thank you.
It's the least expensive car in the United States, and it has it.
Can we move on?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. A couple of good things. Can you see the screen, by the way? So, some good stuff, right? Of course, I have wireless CarPlay.
Mm-hmm.
I love that stuff. Hey, look, Tim has a new podcast.
Okay.
Wheel Bearings, okay. Sam's podcast, I really love listening to. My trailering app. Here's a bummer. When they replaced the head unit, it wiped out my trailer history.
Okay.
You know?
So all the pre-programmed trailers that you can put in here,
yeah.
which I did, the
boat and our work trailers.
Work trailers.
Are wiped out. That's okay. But what's not okay is I kept track of my boat mileage, mm-hmm. my boat trailer mileage on MPG, and it also wiped it. So I'm not really happy. See, I don't have any other new profile, so I have to reset everything. This was just recent.
That sucks.
But then, the good parts, I have to mention. I love some of these gauges. My battery voltage.
This is all real-time stuff, too.
Real-time.
Yeah.
Coolant temp. I could see it in the large display. My oil life, which I trust. It seems to be working really well. Engine filter life. My brakes. Look, I barely touched my brakes in a year.
That's awesome.
Right?
Congrats, Andre. That's awesome.
I that's how I drive. and also trip. This is not so good. This is my lifetime average of MPG, which is 18.9. My best recent is 35 MPG, but that's kind of cruising on a highway.
Maybe heading downhill or something.
Yeah. But really, my real-time, real-life MPG is not super great.
Yeah, I would agree with you. That's only like one MPG under what a full-size truck would be.
Yeah, and I think it's a lot to do with my tires.
Yeah.
I have air down mode, which I love. You can kind of set, you know, when you're off-road, you could set a lower pressure and it'll
so that
beep.
Way it won't warn you and
it'll warn
crazy.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's for airing down. I love that feature. I also love my off-road pages.
Look, that's a nice page.
Elevation, my transfer case settings. I can monitor my tire pressures.
Your pitch and roll.
Pitch and roll. And then finally also the compass and my barometer. See, I've been to about 4,500 feet above sea level or 11,200 feet. That's the Ike.
Yeah.
That's the Ike gauntlet.
Indeed it is.
Do you want to go for a drive?
Yeah, let's take a ride.
Okay. Okay. Also, I've been super happy with off-road performance of this truck. We've done several trails.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been to Moab in this truck yet. I really want to go. Okay. So maybe I'm hoping to get a brand new Ranger soon.
Yeah.
2024 Ford Ranger. And also the Tacoma that will return very, very soon. By the way, we have another video about what actually went wrong with the Tacoma. When we off-roaded it, it was the front differential issue. And we have an entire video, so check out oldtfl.com for the latest updates on the Tacoma. So I want to take the Tacoma, my truck, and the new Ford Ranger all to Moab. That'd be sweet, right?
That'd be fantastic. I think then there's the three main competitors. Perhaps we could sneak something else in there, a couple other Camperos that we're doing in, track or towing.
Drag racing, towing.
Yeah,
and fuel efficiency.
Fuel efficiency, exactly.
This really is becoming a year of the midsize truck, right?
It is.
Also, the Honda Ridgeline is updated with a Trail Sport edition,
yes.
Right?
Yes, it is. It has had an update. Really, it's more of a suspension tires package.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still enough to say that it's had an update. And we've all agreed that, at least on the streets, the Ridgeline is still phenomenal. Very different than this. Very different than this. This is still a proper truck.
Yeah.
Right? Tows a lot more, hauls more, and this is off-road capable. One thing that I think you and I both kind of came to a conclusion on,
yeah,
is that the G80, especially in this truck, is really good. Now, for those of you who don't know, the G80 is a mechanical locking rear diff. Essentially, it works based on when your tire is spinning on one side, it'll eventually lock. It takes a minute.
It does.
But it'll lock up, and then you'll have equal power going to both tires in the back.
Right.
That's how it is. And we've done it. We've had it with, remember our Trail Boss 1500 mm-hmm. Silverado, which we loved that truck. That
yes.
thing was great. And that one, it seemed almost more pronounced, but perhaps it was because it was heavier. Maybe that was one of the reasons why I
yeah.
seemed to notice it more. But this thing, man, it locks up and it goes pretty good.
So it's effective.
Yes.
What I dislike about the G80, if there is a thing, is that it does take a little while for it to lock
in. It takes a few rotations for the...
And if you're stuck on a giant obstacle, that could be a little bit sudden,
yes.
right? So that's the only negative. But it's a proven, long-time, durable solution.
Yes.
We recently purchased a 1998... Tahoe, mm-hmm. a Chevy Tahoe for our Classics channel.
Yep.
I can't believe 98 is classic, but yes.
It
also has a G80.
Yep.
So this has been time-tested and time-proven as an effective way to get traction off-road.
And it's also fairly inexpensive because when you start putting in air lockers or electric lockers, you're adding a lot to the price. And as much as I love those, especially on the ZR2,
yes.
love being able to flip a switch and boom, it's locked.
Yes.
It still makes sense if you're not a full-time, dye-in-the-wool, constant off-roader to have something like this. And this is a good system for snow as well.
Yeah, exactly. And we've proven that several times. I did tumbleweed ranch courses in this truck.
Yep.
It was really great. We took it on Ironclads a couple times. Even Case and Alex compared it against the Rivian.
Yeah.
And they were pleased with it. We did put a few scratches on this truck. Before we continue with the recall and the stop sale, setting the record straight.
Yeah.
I also wanted to talk about that topic we mentioned earlier. Can this become a ZR2? Right?
Okay, explain.
And here's the thing. A ZR2 has a unique rear frame section.
Yes.
Reinforced because GM has tested it. And, a ZR2 has larger tires. It could also leave the ground. Because if you're going very, very fast off-road, there could be areas where you're getting some air.
Yeah.
And I can't replace my frame.
Yep.
I mean, the two frames are a little bit different. So that's one way I cannot make this a ZR2. The second way I cannot make it a ZR2, even if I give it a little lift, suspension lift, and put DSSV shocks on this, like the ZR2, my rear shock orientation is different.
Yep.
On this truck, it's inboard of the frame. On the ZR2, it's outside of the frame, which is better for clearance.
Yes.
But I can't change my frame once again.
Yep. There's more.
What?
Well, we're talking about replacing not only the rear, but
differentials.
The front. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's a crazy amount of money to do that.
Yes. I might as well just sell this and buy a ZR2.
That's the thing,
yeah.
is that, and this is where and we've been advocating for a lot of the automakers that have their special off-road versions of their trucks, which are still ridiculous in money. I mean, the ZR2 is incredibly pricey, but if you were going to take this truck, $42,000, and add all the goodies that are needed to make it competitive.
Comparable?
Sorry, not enough coffee today.
Okay. You should get a Celsius.
There you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you want to make this thing on equal terms with the ZR2, it would cost thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to
do. And it probably would not make financial sense any other sense.
I don't think it would make any sense whatsoever. Yeah. So the bottom line is that if you keep it as it is, this can do 90% of what the ZR2 can do.
Yeah.
That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Right? Well, a little bit more sliding and rock and rolling and everything else, but it could still do it. But if you're really serious about off-roading, then the ZR2 makes sense. And then if you want to go one step further, then you get the Bison.
Yeah, with all the skid plates.
With all the skid plates and the special metals and everything else. Yeah, then you're in a whole different realm. Now, you can add some of those components to this vehicle as well.
I can do skid plates. I could do rock sliders.
Exactly.
I could do those things. Those are not cheap, by the way.
No.
The rock sliders are like...
$1,100, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, that's quite price. I mean, they're high quality pieces and they fit perfectly. But still, once you start adding some of these options and features, this truck's price could really go sky high.
And that's kind of the point of getting the special versions of these vehicles from the automaker that already have those components on there. You are actually, in theory, saving money. However, there is something else to be said.
Yeah.
Now, what if you were to buy, let's say, the previous ZR2. That was a damn good vehicle.
And also it had a diesel.
Yes, that's what I was about to go. You can get yourself a diesel four-cylinder that has better mileage and better range and towed about the same as this, I think. Or roughly around the same.
Oh, actually, the other ZR... Oh, the ZR2s are lower on towing because
Cooling. That's right.
But the grills are a little bit different.
Yeah, but nonetheless, very capable off-road. And a little bit more efficient in terms of that diesel. It's a real shame they got rid of the diesel. It really is. But you have a better interior in this vehicle, and when everything's working right, it's a more advanced interior.
Yeah. Do you see this truck in front of us with a pallet, with a trailer full of pallets?
Yes.
I wanted to show the feature that's being recalled on this truck.
Show us.
So we're going perfectly at speed limit, and I'm approaching this truck.
Okay.
Safely.
No, we're about 20 feet away when it did that.
Okay. Did you hear that beep? Okay, yes. That was a warning. And that worked properly.
Uh-huh.
All right. So I was accelerating slightly towards a vehicle ahead of me. The truck warned me. There was no brake actuation by the truck done. There's no collision avoidance system triggered. That was a correct, really good way of doing things.
That wakes up the driver without taking over.
But in certain conditions, I don't know what it's related to. It's camera based, right? There's a camera up here in the windscreen.
Behind the rear view mirror.
Looking forward and checking things, right?
Right.
Sometimes it overreacts. Either gives you a warning too soon or sometimes slams on your brakes for you. And enough people complained to where Chevrolet issued an HTSA recall for 2023 Colorados, and I believe also GMC Canyons, for this feature, to reprogram it.
This is the 2023, am I correct?
Yes.
So this is part of that recall?
Right. I haven't done it yet.
Okay.
So I'm about to go to the dealer now, again, hopefully to get my camera resolved and also get my recall done. By the way, it's also part of the stop sale. So the current 2023 midsize trucks on GM lots cannot be sold until that feature is recalled and updated.
Okay.
2024s are cleared. So that was my confusion. I thought all 23s and 24s were recalled. That's incorrect.
Okay.
Only 23 model year trucks are recalled.
So you heard it here, folks. Andre rarely is wrong, but he was wrong. And now we have corrected that.
Yes.
So if you have a 24 model, at least with that particular recall, it does not affect you.
Right. And you could buy one.
Yes, and you can go and buy one.
If you go to a dealership right now and they have two trucks on the lot, two Colorados, one 24 and one 23, currently you can buy the 24 and walk out or drive it away.
But the 23
still has to stay until the recall is performed.
Until the recall is performed. Yes. It's entirely possible that the recall's been performed, though, right?
It could be possible.
Yeah, so that's another thing to keep in mind
But we did receive some complaints from our viewers who went to GMC lots or Chevy lots, and they were unable to buy their Canyons or Colorados, And that's why the confusion happened, right?
Right.
So that now it's set straight.
Okay, so now you've set us straight. Thank you very much for that. And so what conclusion can you come up with? Basically, it's been a year, 10,000 miles, hard miles, to be fair.
Yes.
Would you buy this truck again?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
The answer is no.
Okay.
I would not. And it sounds harsh, but here's my kind of bottom line. Oh, the caveat is I bought the first one.
Yes.
Right? Everybody always says do not buy the first year or the first
because they got to work out all the bugs.
Yeah.
And
I'm part of it.
Yes, you are.
Okay. But when I did pay my money, mm-hmm. which is a lot of money actually,
yes.
for most people.
Yeah, 42 grand is not chicken feet.
I expected a smoother experience overall. I love this truck as far as powertrain, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Great towing machine, great off-road machine, great commuting machine, great machine. But my experience with the drained battery, my camera not working, multiple visits to the dealer, and I'm not blaming the dealer, it's just the overall experience
right.
has not been a one I expected. So I don't want to do that again. I just don't.
I totally get you there. Okay.
So that's kind of my bottom line. But I don't want to prevent you guys from who are listening and watching from going out and buying a 24 model right now.
Yeah.
Because like we mentioned, first of all, they're cleared. There are no current recalls on them. No stop sales. And they've ironed out most of the problems, right?
Right.
And it has a high output engine in most cases.
There right? you go.
Because they changed that too. So I think I would do it, but not buying the first truck. You see what I'm saying?
You know, let's take away the glitches that you had. So we're pretending now that this is a 24 model. Glitches are not there now. Comparing it directly to the Toyota Tacoma, which we have had some,
yeah.
even though we haven't had it for long, we've driven the hell out of it.
Yeah.
And it's been to Moab, it's been all around. So we have practical experience with that. Between this and the Tacoma, minus the Tacoma's recent issue, which one would you choose, do you think?
Ooh. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
The Tacoma, we've driven, we almost have 3,000 miles on
yeah,
the Tacoma.
Yeah, we've driven a lot, yes.
Actually, almost 4,000.
And you've driven it cross country as well. So you've had some real time.
The Tacoma, I don't like the tires on the Tacoma TRD off road.
Okay.
They're a little bit too pedestrian for. You've noticed my tires, right?
Yes.
But those tires that Toyota chose on the Tacoma are more efficient. We got about 24 mpg in it. They are quieter, a little bit quieter.
Yes.
You kind of heard the hum just now, right?
Mm-hmm.
On these tires. And. It doesn't have as much power as this, but I think I would pick the Tacoma because it just feels a little bit more refined, efficient. We haven't drag raced them yet, so I don't know exactly what the drag race would yield.
I think we have a pretty good idea.
But with proper tires, if we could put a little bit beefier tire in the Tacoma, I think I would go with that because I'm a little bit more comfortable in it than this truck.
Yeah.
And, no, wait, no, I won't. No, I'll do the Colorado. You know why?
Why?
Because Tacoma doesn't tow as much.
Ah.
That is important to me.
It is important to you. I mean, you have a boat and everything else.
My boat weighs 6,000 pounds with a trailer. And Tacoma is limited to about 6,500 pounds, which is not a lot of headroom.
No.
You know, not a lot of leeway. So forget everything I said in the last 2 minutes.
Okay. So it was stupid.
If the Colorado had no issues and the Tacoma had no issues and they were side by side, I would walk in and buy the Colorado because it has more payload, more towing, and actually really good affordability. I'm done.
Okay. Now we can't add the Ford Ranger to the mix because the new one we have yet to drive.
It's, right.
Right. Exactly. But. I can answer that question too, by the way.
Okay, please.
Yeah, Nissan Frontier.
That's the one you would choose?
Yeah.
Well, why?
A couple reasons. For one thing, I think that the interior in the Nissan is a little bit more comfortable for me, just the hair.
Okay.
Even though I wish that they had a telescoping steering wheel, it really is irritating, but for me at least, my body, it works okay. And the Nissan is less money for getting this similar equipment.
Yeah.
Granted, the torque is not as good, and the towing is not as good. The payload's about the, you know, they're all
it's about,
you know,
the same.
About
yeah.
the same. But that Nissan, for a price point of what's and its capability for what I would need, I would take that over this, and I would take it over the Toyota. That's what I would do. And also, the Nissan's been pretty proven off-road. It's pretty solid.
And it's been around for over 2 years now in
right.
the current generation.
And a lot of the components are from the older
one,
too.
And the engine is actually from the older one, too.
Well, from the last year, the older one, yeah.
Yeah, so the engine is like 3 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting a little bit more, you know, confidence that the Nissan powertrains and their whole truck is really well put together.
Yeah. Now, look, I love your truck. And had this... There's a couple things that kind of get me. Because we drove, exactly, we drove the ZR2, right? And it still had a lot of these
plastic
components where other vehicles didn't have them as noticeable, right? Also, you've had some of these glitches, they scare me. And also, Alex had some negative stuff going on with his Chevy truck, you know.
Recently, experience. Over the last, 3 years.
Yeah, so those things give me a little bit of pause. Now, I have a friend who has last year's Nissan Frontier. He has the King Cab version. That's the Pro 4X,
mm-hmm.
right? He has had no problems with it.
Also, King Cab is an option.
It is, because so you can get a longer bed.
Yeah, you cannot do it in this truck.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
And I believe you can't do that in the Honda for sure.
No, but Tacoma you could. Except
Tacoma,
it's only a 2-door cab now.
Right, and so you can't put anybody in the back seat in an emergency.
Right.
So, which irritates the hell out of me, but you know whatever. So there is something to be said about that. I really enjoy the fact that, I mean, he's pounded on it. And he's put on about 25,000 miles in a year. He travels a lot, and no problems. There was a recall that was taken care of in a day. He had it. I think they flashed the transmission, if I'm right. And that was about it. So that would be my choice for now. I have to drive the Ford because I'm very curious about the Ranger. So stay tuned for that, guys, because that's going to be coming up very soon.
Yeah. So hopefully this gives you a really great perspective on the current state, not just of Colorado Chevy, mm-hmm. but also all midsize trucks, right? Because we are, well, that's part of our job. And I did say don't buy the first year, but I did buy the
you
first...
You went and did that, but we do that
no,
all
no,
the time.
No, but that's because it's a job.
Yeah, that's also. What we... Exactly. I mean, I did the same thing with the...
Santa Cruz. You bought the first one.
Right. So, I mean, we do that because you guys want to know the information, and frankly speaking, you're not going to click on our stories if we don't have the newest thing out there for you guys to learn about, and that's exactly why we do it.
Exactly, and we are working on some new vehicles to purchase. I mean, we're... purchase classic vehicles as well, as you know.
Yeah.
But we're working on some new ones that I can't quite say right now because it's not a done deal.
Lamborghini, baby.
No. Well, they don't make a truck anymore.
Well, the
SUV?
Yeah, we can take the back off it and then make it into a
pickup. It doesn't tow very well, as far as I know.
Okay. Well, I guess we don't do that.
Anyways, so we're not that wealthy. but anyway, so yeah, hopefully this gives you a good perspective. Like I said, mechanically, this truck has been really super solid.
Yeah, I would agree with you there.
Yes, there's some glitches in the software here, that, or at least the camera system, that I wish were fixed. But overall, it's been a pretty decent truck.
So guys, thank you so much for joining us. We hope that this helps you a little bit with your future choice of a midsize truck. And here's the cool part. More midsize truck news is coming in the very near future. We're expecting a lot of changes in the industry within the next year.
Yeah, especially you guys have asked about the new V6 Ranger
uh-huh.
that's coming. That's not going to be immediately on sale in March or April. That's actually coming a little bit later in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So please, I know Ranger has been a long time coming, but a little bit more patience is required.
Just a little tiny bit more.
So I know a lot of you interested on V6 powered Rangers. Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned, guys. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.